Let me make one announcement, as I don't believe it's generally known. Most of you are familiar with Dot Ray, who attends with us, normally attends second service. Dot is the lady that is deaf, and she reads lips. And she's the one who fusses at me if I ever tried to move, and so I've gotten the habit of just standing still so she can read lips. But Dot fell and broke her hip. And she had surgery yesterday at St. Vincent. And the surgery went well. Everything went well with it, but she's in the hospital there. And wanted you to be aware of Dot's situation and have her in your prayers. How are you doing with your reading? Both lessons today are going to come from our reading this week. And there are some things that I want to point out to you that are in the translation of the Bible I'm reading as we go through our study for this year that I thought were important for us to think about and to consider. And let me introduce it by doing this. What's the most significant in the most significant event in the New Testament? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is the most significant event of the Old Testament? Children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Those two things dominate. The coming out of Egypt dominates the Old Testament. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ dominates the New Testament. Do you know what's happening and what's occurring? Think about it. From this standpoint, God introduces us to sin, but not by the word. He doesn't give us a word. He doesn't give us a definition of the word. He tells us a story. He tells us the story of Adam and Eve. And in the story of Adam and Eve, sin is completely defined and identified. So that any time an individual sets to the side what God has said and does what they want to do, they have sinned. And all of it is explained to us and defined for us in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, with the story. When it comes to salvation from our sin, God doesn't give us the word. Not at first. He doesn't give us definition. He doesn't give us principles. He tells us a story. And the story is of the children of Israel who were bound in slavery in the land of Egypt and how God came and through his own power set them free from that slavery and brought them out of the land of Egypt. And so in the story, God tells us about our salvation. And what is going to take place, and we'll get into that as we go a little further in our lesson today. But do you notice something else? The stories are fun to read. The stories hold our attention. The stories are something we read and we get through them really quick. And then we come to the rest of the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. The whole time that the children of Israel are at Mount Sinai, who became so bored with sitting there while Moses was on top of that mountain for 40 days, they decided to go get them another god. One that maybe could keep their attention. And there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for it. The stories pull us together. The stories help us to identify with each other. Those stories of coming out of the land of Egypt is a story that everybody who's ever gone through difficulty, ever been enslaved by anything, and who longs to be set free from whatever it is that's bothering them, they love that story. of how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. But there's another part. It's the tedious part. It's the part that's not a story. It's the part where God talks and we listen. It's the part where we read. It's the part where we pay attention, because God is speaking to us. And without that tedious part where we listen and pay attention, we'll never be right with God. And if we're never right with God, we can never be right with each other. Because that perpendicular relationship that goes up toward God has got to be there, or we'll never be right with each other. And both are absolutely essential. And God lays it out for us as we go through the Bible. Let's take a look at this story and what God is trying to tell us and show us in this story that's defined by this phrase of out of Egypt. Do you catch that phrase? Out of Egypt. Do you catch it from the standpoint of us today? Out of Egypt. Let me help you. When the King James translation was written in the 1600s, King James gave a list of rules to his translators. There are things that you are to do and there are things that you are not to do. We're going to look at two of them. The very first rule that he gave was this one. The ordinary Bible read in the church, commonly called the bishop's Bible, is to be followed and as little altered as the truth of the original will permit. In other words, you primarily follow the bishop's Bible. And unless it's demanded by the original text, you don't change what it says. For that reason, and because of that rule, in the King James translation of the Bible, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, you'll find the word Easter instead of the word Passover. Because the word Easter was in the bishop's Bible. It is not in the original. The word in the original is the word Passover, which they had no trouble translating as Passover anywhere else in the Bible. But in this particular verse, they left it as Easter. And that primarily by the orders of King James. The second one is even more troubling. The old ecclesiastical words to be kept. For example, and this is included in the command. For example, the word church, not to be translated by the word congregation. Because the congregation has an idea of an assembly or a group of people. But the church comes from an old English word that means house. And so the definition of church began in the mind to be the place you go to worship, the house of worship. The word church was first used in the English Bible, in the Geneva Bible, which was translated in 1560. Until that time, every time the word ecclesia was found, it was translated by the word congregation. But King James, knowing what the Geneva translation had done, and knowing that that had become the common word used among all the churches, King James says, you don't change the ecclesiastical words. There would be another word that would be included in that. That would be the word baptism. In other words, you don't translate it. You use the word we're using. And you don't translate the word ecclesia. You use the word we're using. And so they use the word church. So when Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew, and he said, upon this rock I will build my ecclesia. Ecclesia. The word ecclesia means called out. or called forth. And it came to mean a gathering or an assembly that had been called out for the purpose of assembling. And Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, my called out people. And so do you see the connection and the tie-in? And being called out by Jesus and called out of Egypt. Where both describe one in getting us prepared for its coming, and the other, the literal event of our salvation in Christ Jesus. We are God's called out people. We are Jesus's called out people. Church, the original idea was Lord's of the Lord's house, and it referred to a place of worship out of Egypt. I want you to read these verses with me, and we're going to just highlight some. We won't even turn to them and read them, but I want you to open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 13. We're going to look at three verses right quick that are going to talk to us about this being called out and about what it specifically says. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, then the Bible will tell us this. Exodus chapter 13, the third verse. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day. It's going to be the day, the Passover day, Passover feast. Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. We're going to look at that phrase and that idea of eating nothing containing yeast tonight. This morning, we're going to stay with the idea of being called out. Turn over to chapter 19. And in chapter 19, start reading with me in verse 3. And look at the idea again of being called out. And here's what God says about it. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. I called you out of Egypt to belong to me. I called you out of Egypt to be my children above all the other peoples of the world. I called you out of Egypt so that you would be a holy nation and a holy priesthood, so that you would be my servants. Salvation, even though the word is not used. Salvation being pictured for us and described for us in this book of Exodus by the calling out of Egypt. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 2 through 4. You're not there yet. We'll be getting there soon in our reading. But in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 2 through 4, the Bible's going to tell us this. Bring your fellow Levites from your ancestral tribe to join you and assist you when you and your sons minister before the tent of the covenant law. Wait, I told y'all Leviticus, didn't I? Numbers doesn't read like Leviticus. Let me get you over. Don't y'all feel great having a guy up here that makes so many mistakes? Leviticus chapter 18, starting with verse 2. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Do not follow their practices. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. Get what it means to be called out of Egypt? To be called out of Egypt is not to be simply rescued from slavery. It's to become something. It's to become the people who belong to God. Take a look at these. We'll just highlight them on the screen. Because you have come out of Egypt, do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner. Why? Because you were a foreigner in Egypt. You know what it was like. So don't mistreat or oppress a foreigner. Do not use dishonest weights or measures. Because I brought you out of Egypt. What's that got to do with being in Egypt? You know how unfairly you were treated. So don't treat people unfairly. And then in that process, you use weights and measures that are absolutely accurate. You use weights and measures that are honest. Acknowledge me as holy because I made you holy by bringing you out of the land of Egypt. This phrase, because you came out of Egypt, is at the end of every single one of these verses and every single one of these commandments. You acknowledge me as being holy because I made you holy, because I brought you out of the land of Egypt. The Israelites are my servants because I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13. Let's read it and we'll compare it to one verse. But do you see the comparison in these verses on the screen in our life in Jesus Christ? Because he loved, you love. Because he forgave, you forgive. Because he did this, you do this. Because he had the in his mind to put us ahead of him on his own self, then we have in our mind to put others ahead of ourselves as we strive to be like him. Because we belong to Christ, we become like him. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13. The Bible will read this way for us. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. How close does that come to sounding like, take my yoke upon you? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walk like Christ, and you walk with hell's head high. Walk as a slave to the world, and you're under burden and sin and beaten down. Out of Egypt. What is Egypt? We're going to look at two passages of Scripture. One's in Romans chapter 12, and the second one is going to be in the book of Ephesians. And then the lesson is yours. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. We are called out of Egypt. But what is Egypt? Egypt is the world in which you live. Egypt is the age, the time in which you live. Egypt is what is all around us. And so Paul will write in Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because Jesus died for you, and because you've been called out by Jesus, called out of the world, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. You are Jesus' called out people. You've been called out of Egypt. You've been called out of the world. You've been called to be like Him. Called out. Isn't it amazing how this book fits together? Isn't it amazing how God ties all of these things together for us? Two kind of long verses, but they're important verses. This is that tedious part. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Paul writes this. Just keep in mind, out of Egypt, out of the world, called out. That's what the church is. Jesus is called out people. So in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. What do you do when you're living under that kind of slavery? All of us who lived among them at one time, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You've been called out of the world. You've been called to belong to Jesus. And this is the difference in that life. Chapter 4, 17 through 24. Again, Paul writes these words. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer live as the Gentiles do, people in Egypt, the people in the world, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ. That's not what Christ calls you to. And we're taught in Him in accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put it off. To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are the church, the called out people of Jesus Christ. Called out of this world to belong to Him. Let's remember what He's made us to be. And let's be what He intended we become. His called out people. His body. His church. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to be baptized into Christ? You need to come home to Christ. We'll offer you His invitation as together we stand and sing.